beautiful.
Thank you.
It's just thrilling.
Welcome
to the Emmy Award.
Grammy Award.
The Tony Award goes to.
Give it up!
And the Oscar goes to.
Matthew McConaughey.
Legendary Smokey Robinson.
Joan Rivers. Rivers.
Welcome to the Fox site, the legendary.
I love you.
It's time to take a step in the Fox light with your host, Michael Tamaro.
Yes, it is. Hello, 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 and welcome to another edition of In the Foxlight, our weekly entertainment wrap-up of all things happening in show business, and more importantly, the people making them happen. I'm Michael Tamaro, and I have another fun show for you today. Joining me today from the stage, we have Ryan Silverman, lead actor in the new Broadway show, Sideshow. From the big screen, we get a sneak peek of what happens when the Imitation Game meets War Stories on the Fox Business Network. But first, as we always do, we go out to L.A. and the lovely Michelle Polino with the biggest stories this week and an announcement about an upcoming special. Michelle!
That's true. How are you?
I'm good. We're hanging in there as we head towards Thanksgiving by a thread.
I know, right? Totally. I haven't eaten for 5 days in preparation.
Are you? It's going to be a bad. That's all I'm going to say. So what's going
so
on?
If I pass out, you know, just send the ambulance.
We'll send
over.
Someone
it's
in
all about. Yes, please. It's all about Bill Cosby, as you know. It's,
I can't get away from
it's
it.
Been a, you know, we were talking a little bit before we went on, and it's really bothering you. Tell me a little bit why. I mean, we'll get into what the latest, but you're a big fan, huh?
Of course, he was America's dad. I mean, we all grew up with the Cosby Show, and it's just yet again we're let down by someone, you know, we used to kind of admire and respect. And it's just, it seems like there's no one anymore, you know, and you can't find anyone to say a nice thing about him, apparently. And the stories, the women just keep coming. Like, where is this going to end?
I don't know, because right now there is no end in sight. I will tell you again today, we have another person, actress Michelle Hurd from Law & Order SVU, posted her own personal account of sexual molestation accusations against Bill Cosby on her Facebook page. And, you know, it just continues each day. There is somebody new coming out. There were two more Bill Cosby shows that have been axed as a result of these sexual assault and molestation allegations. The Capitol Theater in Washington State says the November 29th show has been postponed indefinitely, and Foxwoods Resort Casino in Connecticut has also said it has indefinitely postponed a performance by the 77-year-old scheduled for January 31st.
Wow. And he had two shows slated for NBC, is that correct? And both are canceled? Or he had one show slated for NBC?
That's correct.
One, for
one
NBC,
show for NBC.
And one for Netflix?
One for, that's correct. Netflix had a stand-up they were going to do, and he was actually in talks to do another show with NBC, but those two were scrapped, and of course his TV Land reruns also pulled.
So what started all this? Because these aren't necessarily, it had been out there a little bit, and then I feel like it kind of went under the radar, and now all of a sudden it's just a pile-on.
You're right. Hannibal Buress, you know the comedian Hannibal Buress?
Yeah.
He was doing a stand-up in a Philadelphia comedy club, and he basically started it all by calling Cosby a rapist in his stand-up, and it just took off from there.
The dam broke. So the big question is this the end of his career?
Well, I got to tell you, I've done a lot of reporting on it this week, and I spoke with a couple of pretty big Hollywood hitters, Hollywood career crisis control guys, Howard Bragman and Danny Duraney. Mm-hmm. And both of them have helped stars come back from really bad PR stunts or stuff that they've done in their past. And they have both said that his career is gone.
Yeah. Do you think
But Danny said something. He took it a little bit further, Danny Duraney. Mm-hmm. He said he really does need to come out and speak to people in some kind of honest and truthful way. Because right now you have a whole new generation that have social media and they have it in their grips, and people are quick to judge in these days of social media, and they will condemn somebody even before any kind of trial. So the best thing he can do is to come out, while, as Bragman says, he won't come out. He's old school. He will not take this public.
Yeah, I don't get that whole media strategy. I mean, one, he's not denying any of it, which is the first thing, and two, he's not talking about it. You know,
right.
If there's any hope of redemption, people want to at least see you fight for yourself. If there's shred of innocence in any of this. So,
and people are so quick to forgive too. I mean,
especially in Hollywood.
It's crazy. I know. I mean, there have been so many people in Hollywood. I mean, let's just pull out the Woody Allen card real quick. because
I'm not touching that one.
I know you won't. I know you won't, but I will. I have no fear.
But if,
Woody Allen has, you know, Woody Allen has, of course, married his stepdaughter. And there's when the scandal broke, you know, everybody says the career is over. The man has still got one of the best careers in the business.
He does, and his movies, his last movie with Cate Blanchett was fantastic.
Amazing performance,
yeah.
By the way.
All right, enough of the cause. I can't. We got to bring this up. What's next?
Well, we have to talk about one of the best directors of our time who passed away. Of course, I'm talking about Mike Nichols, who passed away this past week at the age of 83. Very suddenly, I might add. He was one of the very few that had the EGOT.
Yes.
And that is an Emmy. Yes, an Emmy, Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony, and in his lifetime. Very few people have it. I think Whoopi Goldberg has it. But let's just take
Rita Moreno
a listen
has it.
To
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Let's take a listen to one of his biggest films.
For God's sake, Mrs. Robinson, here we are. You got me into your house. You give me a drink. You put on music. Now you start opening up your personal life to me and tell me your husband won't be home for hours.
So?
Mrs. Robinson, you're trying to seduce me.
Yeah, with that laugh. Yeah. An amazing film. He started his career directing he started his career in comedy, actually, in an improv group with Elaine May. And he went on to be very successful with Elaine May. It was Nichols and May. And the duo were just hilarious together. Let's listen to them, because they have they did a lot of great bits together.
Sure. And you never called.
Mother, I was sending up a rocket. I didn't have a second.
Well, it's always something, isn't it?
Really. An amazing performer. Of course, he then went on to direct Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? I mean, that was his first film. It's incredible.
So many movies, so many Broadway shows. There was a great quote in the New York Post today from Mike Nichols. There's nothing better than discovering, to your own astonishment, what you're meant to do. It's like falling in love. It's a real loss for show business and also to the fabric of this city. He was such a part of New York City, you know?
Yeah, he was incredible.
All right, Michelle, I understand you have a special coming up.
I do, and I'm really, really excited about it. It is a holiday movie preview and Oscar special. So we're looking at all the films coming out in the next couple of weeks, and the films that have just come out, and a few that came out over the summer. I'm taking films from everywhere, from the summer, from Boyhood, Grand Budapest Hotel. We're looking at those, going in through Gone Girl to,
fabulous,
of course, yes, Interstellar, Birdman, which I might add I talk about extensively because I believe that it is Michael Keaton's greatest role. I just think he's amazing in it.
I'm dying to see that.
Oh, he's just amazing in it. And in fact, it was nominated for, I think, 5 awards for the Independent Spirit Awards, which the nominations were just announced a few moments ago.
So the Academy Awards follow the Independent Spirit Awards, correct?
That's correct.
And they generally look, what is the Academy generally like? They like a period piece. They like transformation.
They love period pieces.
And they love social issues.
Yes. That's exactly. And speaking of which, we talk also about Foxcatcher, which another movie, true crime movie that I love with Steve Carell. Talk about transformation. going from comedy to playing the millionaire DuPont, who takes in these wrestlers. But it's a true crime story. Are you familiar with it?
I am. I was really excited to see it, and we were supposed to cover the junket and then the carpet, and then we got uninvited, Michelle.
What?
Yes.
Oh no.
Something happened. I'm not sure if it was someone in the cast. They had a little issue with us. It happens from time to time. That's all I'm going to say. Ooh. But then I had also heard that it was a very tight window, and I think CNN was also not included and some other news outlets. The only news outlet at the carpet was CBS, which I find so strange. But so we weren't allowed to cover it, but I will see it for sure.
Yes, because I think that's great. And you mentioned social issues, and of course Selma is being talked about.
I heard that got like a 10-minute standing ovation last week with the screening with Oprah Winfrey out in L.A. I'm dying to see it.
Oh, so those are the films that I talk about. We're going to talk about a couple more. Of course, Angelina Jolie, her second directorial feature on Broken, the true story of Louis Zamperini. That's going to be huge. And, of course, The Imitation Game.
The Imitation Game. Yes, it's a perfect segue. Because, you know, have you seen The Imitation Game yet?
I have, and I'm in love with Benedict Cumberbatch. I'm just going to say it. I know he's recently engaged, but...
I think you got a shot. Go for it. It's Hollywood.
I will.
Nah, he is fabulous. I saw it last week, and we covered him for The Penguins of Madagascar, and then again Monday night for The Imitation Game. It's a fabulous movie, something I had not known about. And that, to me, that's always the great thing about this business. People always say, you know, what... the best part of your business, talking to celebrities and all that. And yes, that's a total privilege, but to me is learning and discovering something I had no idea about. And that is the story of Alan Turing and this group of geniuses in World War II who helped crack the Enigma code, this impenetrable Nazi code, and really helped turn the tide of the war. No one, it was all covered up and classified. And later on in the 50s, he was subsequently punished for being different. I don't want to get too much. Right. I don't want to give it away. But we also recently sat down with the cast. You know, we have this great series on Fox Business Network every weekend. They run these War Stories marathons with Oliver North, and it chronicles various episodes from World War II, Vietnam, Korea, and American heroism and all that. And we recently sat down with some of the cast, and we're going to incorporate those interviews this weekend, this Thanksgiving weekend. So when you're done with your turkey, you can turn on the Fox Business Network starting at 8 o'clock Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night for 3 hours of back-to-back episodes of War Stories. And you have a chance to see some of my interviews with some of the cast, Mark Strong, Charles Dance from Game of Thrones. I know you love Game of Thrones.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. I'm there. I'm so there. Michael, I was there for you, but now I'm there for him.
There you go. And, of course, the amazing director, Morton Tilden. Let's take a listen.
All right, you play Stuart Menzies, the leader of this elite group of geniuses trying to crack the code. How do you approach this from a historical standpoint?
Well, what he was the head of MI6. Yeah. During the war, it was called the Special Operations Executive. But essentially, he was the guy responsible for bringing together all these very talented mathematicians to break the Enigma code.
If you speak a word of what I'm about to show you, you will be executed for high treason.
How did this pave the way for modern-day intelligence?
It was his job after the war, and when the need for secrecy was paramount, to create the organization that we know today as MI6.
Break the code? At least we have a chance.
Now, you play Commander Denniston in this film. Yes. What's it like to play an actual historical figure?
Well, there's not much known about Denniston, really. And although he's an historical figure, my character runs Bletchley Park, where all the codebreakers were working to crack the Enigma code.
You need me a lot more than I need you.
And Denniston was surrounded by a bunch of people who were far more intelligent than he was, far brighter. And he tried to run Bletchley Park like a dormitory for naughty schoolboys.
Who is your commanding officer?
Winston Churchill, number 10 Downing Street, London, SW1. You have a problem with my decision, you can take it up with him.
All right, it's 1939, the Second World War. Can you set the scene for us?
This is, you know, a dark time for Europe. I mean, the German war machine is rolling over Europe, and England is being bombed to pieces every night. They're starved out, so they think they're losing.
Sure, it's more than just a war movie, though. What's really at the heart of it?
This is a story about Alan Turing, this brilliant, odd, awkward mathematician who broke the Nazi Enigma machine, and by then shortened the war, saved millions of lives.
No, Enigma isn't difficult, it's impossible.
The Americans, the Russians, the French, the Germans, everyone thinks Enigma is unbreakable.
Good. Let me try, and we'll know for sure, won't we?
So there you have it, Imitation Games and War Stories, all this weekend on the Fox Business Network. It's, and you have to catch them. The movie opens up nationwide, I think, Thursday or Friday. It's fabulous.
Yep.
All
it's
right.
Good stuff. It's great.
Yeah, and it kind of stays with you, too. It's a very layered mm-hmm. movie. And I found myself, I kind of want to go back and watch it because there are different parts I kind of missed. And, you know, it's that yeah. good. All right, Michelle, I was having such a great New York night last night. I have to say, I left work a little early. I went to Spiff, got my hair did, my nails done, and my shoes shine.
I love it.
And then I headed over to Broadway's infamous Joe Allen's for a little cocktail to meet a colleague and some appetizers okay. before we took in this great new show called Sideshow. And joining me now is the lead actor himself from Sideshow, Ryan Silverman.
Hello.
Hey. All right, I have to say, I was so enjoying this show. I was sitting there, and to me, there's nothing better than taking in a Broadway show. The lights go down, the curtains go up, and you just kind of forget everything, the world, and just tune into this other world. And this is that kind of show. So we were sitting there enjoying the whole thing, and then curtain goes down for intermission, check our iPhones. We have to go back to work. For breaking news. Something was
happening.
So we had to go back and monitor the whole situation and all that. But that said, if you don't believe me, just read what the critics are saying about the show from Variety. The new improved Sideshow smells like a hit. Helmer, Bill Condon's shrewd reworking of the short-lived 1997 cult musical by Henry Krieger and Bill Russell, which comes in both darker in tone and lighter in theme than Memory Has It. From the New York Times, Mr. Silverman plays Terry with a slick edge, but there are suggestions of the unwilling, sensitive soul underneath, revealed in private conversation, the song in which he expresses anguish and not being able to achieve a natural intimacy with Daisy. We'll get more into that in a little bit. But first, Ryan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Glad to be here.
And congratulations on your success. Tell us a little bit about your character, Terry.
Terry Connor is a talent scout and press agent in the early 30s. And he used to work in vaudeville and sort of has fallen on hard times. So the show starts with him having accidentally stumbled upon a freak show, and he's sort of, you know, pulling at straws, trying to find something to get him back into the game, and he finds these two young women, and it just so happens that they are attached to one another, and he sees a potential in them to get them out of this environment and into vaudeville because he likes their voices. He thinks that they're talented, and that's what he does. He pulls them out of there and he brings them into vaudeville, and they ultimately become these huge stars. And along the way, he starts to have feelings for one of them, which you know, brings up a lot of interesting questions.
Now, this is based on an original story?
It is. I mean, it's a true story. All these, you know, all of these events actually happened. These girls did exist in the early 30s. They were discovered in a freak show where they had no freedom and they were basically owned. And a guy came along and brought them into vaudeville and sort of gave them this, you know, in a sense, freedom to sort of grow and to have opinions of their own. And, you know, in the 30s, in real life, they were making, I think, $10,000 a week.
Wow.
During the Depression. It's kind of amazing.
And then I understand they had a brief career, but then they kind of, it's also the fall. Someone told me today they wound up as cleaning ladies.
Oh, no, as grocery clerks, bagging groceries.
Wow.
I mean, it's such a heartbreak. We don't go into that in our show because it would be too depressing. But they had such
but
fame.
Think how efficient four hands bagging groceries could be. Yeah. I'm just saying.
This is the best musical ever.
When someone told me they were cleaning ladies, I'm like, that's brilliant. That's, four hands,
yeah,
one countertop?
$10,000 a week, that's nothing.
You're done.
Sick. Are you guys done already? That's amazing.
That's just wrong.
That's totally wrong. But no, yeah, they were bagging groceries, and they had terrible deaths. One died 4 days before the other, and it's sort of a fall from grace with such a sad ending. But you know, it's also interesting. They died in 1969, and nobody knows who they are. But they were these big stars back in the 30s. It's so interesting that sort of story had been completely forgotten until basically written in this musical.
Yeah, and it's the musical, it's a revival.
It is, yeah.
It's they're billing it as reimagined.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, it's in all honesty, I wasn't very familiar other than the music with the original, but from what I've seen and what I've been told, it's a complete reworking of it. So it's, you know, they took there's new music, there's almost an entirely new script. Mm-hmm. It strengthens the characters, and there's more of a through line and a story that you really follow from the beginning and you know, that you really care for these girls. And it really sort of shows more of their, you know, how real they're, even though they were attached, how their love life actually was, and you know, that they weren't just these two singing people attached to one another, but they actually had loves and actually had boyfriends and things, and that sort of
makes them fascinated by that kind of. As we were walking back, we were like, "Okay, how's this going to happen?"
Right.
First of all, how do you have a private conversation?
Yeah, yeah.
Without the other one, and I had to go back and read, and I kind of see and I think where it's going to go, because I will go back and see the show now. I'll even pay for it this time. How about that?
Well, you got to come. Act two is where all the juicy stuff happens,
and your big number.
My big number, Act Two. Yeah, I have this
number. It's so interesting. It's such an interesting story. I'm thrilled to come and see it. It sounds so complex.
It is. I mean, it also sounds so weird. Like when you hear like a musical about conjoined twins, why would anybody write a musical about that? But it's so fascinating. Everything in it, you know, is based in reality, and you root for these girls like you wouldn't expect, because it's, you know, there's so many things against them that they get over, and you just want them to have what everyone else has, you know, someone in their life, and you kind of go, how can that happen?
Now, last night's performance was flawless. You were fantastic.
Thank you.
You were telling me it was like everything that could go wrong went wrong.
Well, yeah, you know, we opened up on, what was it, Monday, and we just have been going straight since, and I think, you know, at some part the wheels kind of start to fall off in a sense, and you go, oh, I just want to sleep. But I had about a food poisoning last night, and Matt was losing his voice, and you know, it was one of those shows that you finished and you were like, oh, thank God that's over. But the crowd went nuts at the end of the show. They loved it.
Yeah.
So, you know, now you know you can do a show with food poisoning and a sore throat.
What is that like? You guys do what, 8 performances a week?
8 a week, yeah.
How do you keep yourself in shape for that?
Well, I didn't do a good job of it yesterday, but generally you just have to, you know, it's like anything. It's like, in a sense, it's like it's like being an athlete, I guess. That you have to sort of make sure that you're just rested enough, you know, and that's really all it is.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you'll be fine.
Stars Aaron Davey and Emily Padgett star as the two twins.
Yes.
They're fantastic.
They're unbelievable.
What is the best part of being a part of this production?
You know, it's working with Bill Condon, I think, is one of the coolest things. You know, this is his first venture into theater and his first Broadway show. You know, he's now, I think, headed off to London to start directing the live version of Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, wow.
Which is, I can't wait to see what he does with it. But, you know, he's directed so many things in Hollywood, and this was something that he was passionate about. And so to get to work with a man that is so passionate about something that he saw the potential of a show that closed years ago, and he says, I know what to do with this.
Yeah.
So to get to be in a room with that kind of energy was really cool, and he was very open to sort of, you know, wanting your opinion, you know, about each scene, and so it was very collaborative, and you don't always get that sort of experience in shows.
Sure.
So to get to be in something that, you know, had been done before, but really felt like it was brand new, and that you were sort of at the, you know, coming in at the beginning of it. That sort of has been my favorite experience so far with it.
All right. Well, let's get down to what's really important, Michelle, okay? Our friend Ryan here has this great new show, Sideshow. It's at the St. James Theater. But Ryan, recently you were labeled one of the top 10 Broadway hunks to play Christian in stage adaptation of Moulin Rouge.
I love that.
And once again, Michelle, you're going to regret not being here today. I'm just saying.
I always regret not being there.
I read that and I was like, hey, yeah, I'm in. I love that idea. I'm amazed they haven't done
that. Good for you.
You know, Moulin Rouge on stage. Don't you think that would be awesome?
That'd be fantastic.
Oh, it'd be killer.
Oh my gosh, it's like one of my favorite films ever. That's a top. That's like a top five for me.
Yeah,
I never
get
tired of watching it.
I don't either.
Ewan McGregor and Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
Oh, please.
It's good stuff.
All right,
great.
I'll make some phone calls.
Oh, there you go. Get on that, please. Call Bill. Bill yeah. Condon.
But how was it? How was it? Bill Condon is also one of my favorite directors. I mean, Kinsey was one of my favorite movies. Gods and Monsters. Dreamgirls. He also directed episodes of The Big C, which I was a big fan of.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's great.
Yeah, he's really, you know, I knew of his work, but I didn't know it extensively. And I purposely didn't sort of do a ton of research because then I would have been nervous. So the first day of rehearsal, we sat down and he's like, so what do you think? And yeah. I was like, I don't get why this happens. And blah, you know, I just sort of like laid it out on the table and it was great because it was very collaborative.
Sure.
Had I been like, oh my God, yeah, he's won Oscars and oh, he's amazing. Mm-hmm. I would have been a little more, mm-hmm. you know, tight-lipped and like, you know, he knows what he's doing. He doesn't want to hear what I want to say. So,
But,
do you get nervous when you like have to perform in front of someone at that level or how do you work past that?
I think you do a little bit, yeah. you know, because they're just what they've done. It's hard not to go, oh, my God, what they've done is amazing, you know, and you don't want to not be good, you know?
Yeah,
yeah. But he was from the beginning so different in that he was – you wouldn't have known that he has the career that he has because he is so laid back and so wants to know your opinion.
Sure.
So he – it you know – he had preconceived notions of what the show should be, but he, every step along the way, was open to any ideas that might make it better.
Yeah,
so we would sit and improvise scenes and, you know, throw things in and change them. And, you know, that kind of experience makes you very, very comfortable to then do something that could be completely wrong, you know? So he's very smart in making the rehearsal space a very sort of open, comfortable place to be.
It's a great working environment. Do you ever get nervous, Michelle, talking to stars?
I do. Just like I was just thinking that when he said that, I was just like, I do as well. Like I get a little starstruck. Hilary Swank recently, I spoke with her, and I got a little starstruck with her.
I'm sorry. Who were you interviewing that made you nervous?
Hilary Swank.
Hilary Swank.
Yeah, well, you don't want to say the wrong thing. You don't want to be like, oh, she just rolled her eyes. She thinks I'm an idiot.
And you know, that's exactly what I was, afraid of. And she's so, you know, what I noticed, you also get to know these people because you're interacting with them. And even in interviewing, I got to know her personality a little bit more just by spending, you know, 10 minutes with her. I realized what a consummate performer, like even in the interview, she had everything ready for me.
Yeah.
In a way that, you know, she had all the numbers that I needed in this interview. Just right there, you can tell she studied. And I was like, wow, this is why she gets the roles that she does.
The one part, a couple of them make me nervous. Clint Eastwood, I was a little intimidated. Hello, to go into that room. And then it was Oprah Winfrey for The Butler. We did the junket. And for us, it doesn't get better. I mean, that's the top of the field.
Right.
You know, the top of the game and the whole thing. And I was just waiting outside the room. It was all very buttoned up. You know, you're sitting. And then when the person ahead of you is finishing, they make you go stand by the door. So there's not like a second lost because Miss Winfrey's time is very important, as you can imagine. And you got like 3.5 minutes and the whole thing. But I was just standing. I'm like, okay, I'm going in there. Guns blazing. I'm not going to leave that room and regret not doing or saying anything. And I walked in there and I'm like, okay, it was on a Sunday. They did the junket. And I'm like, this is how you celebrate Super Soul Sunday. And she started like, yeah, Super Soul. She did the whole thing from the OWN Network and all that. And we just got into
it. Nice.
Yeah. And we were just talking and laughing and the whole thing. And they kept trying to cut off the interview because they're very strict about the time. And we went to 4 minutes, to 5 minutes, to six. And finally I just said, look, if you think I'm going to cut Oprah Winfrey off, you got something else coming to you. It's not going to happen.
You're awesome. I love that.
But sad to say. Yeah. What were you going to say?
I would have gotten really nervous with Oprah too. That would be the one.
Yeah, my interview would have been like 30 seconds. I'd have been that's all for now. Thank you.
Yeah.
After we'd done it, everyone was like, "What the heck went on in that room?" I'm like, "That's between me and Oprah. That's what I'm going to say." And sadly, that's all the time we got today, guys. I know, but if you're in town this holiday season, you must catch Ryan on Broadway Now in Sideshow at the St. James Theater.
Please do.
Please do. And Michelle Pollino, where can we catch your special?
Oh, FoxNewsRadio.com.
FoxNewsRadio.com. And it'll be up when? This holiday?
That's correct. On Thursday.
On Thursday. Fantastic. And I'll catch you guys next time in the Foxlight.